Hi friends, it's me, Bethany Rutter, and I'm here with my good friend and business partner.
It's me, Alice Slater.
And collectively we are, what page are you on? Alice, how are you?
I'm just peachy, thanks, Bert. How are you?
I am good. What have you been reading this week, my friend?
So I have been absolutely slamming through. First of all, I read The Last House on Needless Street by Katrina Ward, which, oh my God, it is such a bizarre, brilliant, weird book. Like, I can't even give you a summary of it without worrying about treading on spoilers, but like, it's a thriller, there's a talking cat, like, it's completely wild, but it's so good. I really loved it. And I'm reading a book called Night Shift by Kiari Ladner, which came out about two weeks ago. Oh my God, mate, it is so good. Like, it is so good. It's just, I feel like we will end up doing maybe a deeper discussion on it at some point. But like, if you've been listening to this podcast for any period of time and have ever trusted our recommendations, just read this book immediately because you will love it. Obsessive Friendship. Like, ooh. Yeah, it's just my perfect book.
This sounds right up our collective street.
Just in a nutshell, it is about a woman who kind of sees a new girl at work. She's kind of interested in her, and then they end up forming this like very kind of intense queer relationship that just kind of ends up taking over her whole life. It's a banger.
I'm hyped. I'm, yeah, definitely on board with this. I think we were very kindly sent a proof by our good friends at Picador. So I think it is on my little pile of things to be read.
What about you, pal? What are you reading?
Well, because I was reading the book that we are going to be discussing today, let me take this opportunity to instead talk about a podcast I have listened to this week, which is about a book. I have been listening to a podcast that I'd never heard of, and I saw it recommended by the lovely, wonderful, cool and interesting children's author Robin Stevens. And she recommended a podcast that is just called The Lolita Podcast. And it's like a multi-part exploration of the book Lolita and its place in pop culture and all the adaptations and adaptations that never saw the light of day and how it has impacted pop culture and has been kind of interpreted rightly or wrongly by different people. And it is so interesting. I am loving it. I only started listening to it yesterday, and because I like to have something to listen to while I'm making my earrings, I've smashed through quite a lot of it in the last day.
That sounds so good. I'm intrigued.
Yeah, because it's not a book that I have kind of particularly strong opinions on or, you know, any strong relationship to. So it's been very interesting to explore it through this pod.
Presumably you've read it.
I have read it in my life, but not for a while. And I don't remember forming a particular bond with it, but I have read it.
I just think it's incredible. It's the writing, you know, like the texture of his writing is just incredible to me.
That's the thing I remember, is that it is very kind of, or as a reading experience, very pleasurable to read. And that is in conflict with the subject matter.
Yes, exactly.
So yeah, if you like reading books, and I assume you do because you are listening to this podcast, whether or not you love Lolita, hate Lolita, maybe even if you never read it, I cannot recommend it enough, The Lolita Podcast on your podcast app. But wait till you've finished this episode. Don't go anywhere.
So we decided that we would do like a book club style ep this week and talk about one title in particular. And that title is Detransition Baby by Tori Peters.
Yes, it is. So okay. We thought that in general, we would like to kind of revisit the concept of book club episodes, but tying it more specifically to a book that has been buzzy among our demographic, at least, and that has come out in the last kind of month or 6 weeks. So that people have had a chance to, you know, absorb the discourse, maybe buy the book, maybe read it, and then can come hang out with us while we chat about it.
So yeah, let us know if there's anything on the horizon that you would like us to do a special episode on. Otherwise, we're just going to follow our noses.
So true, like little bloodhounds, like little bookish bloodhounds.
First of all, let's summarise the Transition Baby. And are we going to do spoilers? I vote we don't do spoilers.
Okay.
So, Detransition Baby, in a nutshell, we did talk about it on our books we were looking forward to this year. But yeah, to kind of sum it up, it is about three people, a woman called Reese, her ex-partner, Ames, who used to be Amy, but has detransitioned following a violent attack. And Ames's boss, Katrina, who he is having an affair with. And the kind of thrust of the novel is that Katrina ends up pregnant with Ames's baby.
More the thrust of the plot is that Katrina ends up pregnant with Ames's baby, and one potential parenting solution is to involve Reese as a mother, and that is presented as a potential way of raising the baby. And it's about the three of them kind of working out whether this would be a good idea or not.
That's a much better that's a much better summary than mine. So what did you think?
I loved it. I truly loved it. It's, yeah, even though it's
I knew you would.
I loved it. Yeah, it's even though it's quite long, it's a chunky hardback and it's got quite a lot of words on each page, I still raced through it because I was having such a wonderful time reading it.
It definitely, in terms of writing style, maybe not like on a granular level, but certainly in terms of like its kind of literary quality versus its readability, it reminds me of stuff like Little Fires Everywhere or what was that Kylie Reid book called?
Such a Fun Age.
Such a Fun Age. Like, granularly, it's not quite as commercial in tone as those two books, but in terms of like something which presents an intriguing situation, which you were then rushing to find the solution to, yes, it reminded me of those kinds of books.
Yeah. And then I found, in terms of the kind of how densely psychological and revelatory about the human experience, I found it was quite close to a book that I loved from the last couple of years, which was Fleischman Is in Trouble by Tuffy, yes, Brodesser Ackner, in terms of that very sharp kind of psychological insight into how people are and why they do the things they do.
Yeah, I can totally see that. Because it does, it dips into the characters' backstories. It's written in the third person, and it jumps between the three characters. But it sits much more closely to Ames and Reese's kind of psyches than it does Katrina's.
Yeah, she's the one that we have the least kind of insight into.
Yeah, so you don't really get much about her past in the narrative. She talks a little bit about who she is and where she's come from. But, like, you don't really get a huge amount of detail into her life. Which, incidentally, Tori Peters, I don't know, did you watch the launch event with Sean Fay?
I did not.
It was really good. I believe if it's still available via, I think it was Burley Fisher hosted it. If it's still available, it's worth watching. It was really good. But yeah, Tori Peters said that she intentionally kept a little bit of distance from Katrina because she was just like, I am not an Asian American woman. Like, yeah. I'm an Asian American cis woman specifically as well. Like, she was like, I just didn't feel like that was a voice that I, or a psychology that I could like, dip that deeply into,
mm-hmm. Yeah,
which I thought was really interesting.
But yeah, I just found like the characters that we spend the most time with, which is like Reese and Amos, I just found them so endlessly fascinating, especially Reese, who is this kind of very flawed trans woman character and frequently does kind of vaguely self-destructive things. And I just loved reading about her, even though I didn't necessarily always like her and maybe would find her a difficult presence in my life were she a real person. I loved reading about her.
I think that's something that I always look for in characters, though. I like to read about messy women who aren't always particularly nice. And that's something that I really liked about this, that it had that, whilst it had that like domestic New York relationship led plot, it also had the kind of messiness of women who don't quite know what they want to do with their lives or where they want to be, or maybe know what they want but don't know how to get it because they're still trapped in like destructive cycles.
Well, and also are not enabled to have the things that they want. Like, the key kind of conflict of the book is basically that Reese desperately wants to be a mother, but because she is trans and trans people are not enabled either biologically or non-biologically to be parents, that is a thing that she is struggling to achieve. I loved it. And what I also found really interesting was that, like, of all of the elements of human experience that get explored in art, I think one of the things I find the least interesting is people deciding to have children. I'm not uninterested in parent, like the dynamics of parenting when the child exists, or when, you know, how you raise a child, but the kind of conversation around, like, should we have a child, should we not, I find I've never really found a book that does that in a particularly interesting way. And I feel like there was like a period a couple of years ago where, like, in quick succession I read Expectation by Anna Hope, which I've kind of previously said I don't particularly like, and I also saw the play Lungs with Matt Smith and Claire Foy at the Young Vic or the Old Vic, I can't remember, Old Vic, and they both deal with this question of, like, oh, should we have children or not, and I just found them both, like, completely tedious, and I didn't care at all. So it was so exciting and revelatory to be reading something that deals with exactly the same question in a way that I just found so exciting and interesting and stimulating. And it was just, yeah, a real relief to know that, like, however tired I think a subject is, there is always going to be some author somewhere that finds a way of doing it in a way that I am like, yes, give me more of this.
Yeah, like a fresh voice, a different angle, a whole different perspective. And I think it was also, it gave me, yeah, like, writing about the relationship between trans women and what the trans scene in New York looks like was really interesting as well. I haven't read a New York novel like that before.
So true. So something about this book is that it is so I read somewhere that it is the first book by, like, an out trans woman to be published by one of the big five publishing houses. You know, I guess at least part of the reason why so much of this feels so new, because it kind of is new in terms of traditional publishing.
I feel like by out trans women and book we mean fiction though, right?
Because novel, yeah.
But that's still a shocking fact, isn't it? Like,
yeah, it's completely absurd. But yeah, I mean, I guess that is why so much of this feels exciting and fresh, is because it's not in a lineage of which there is a great deal in mainstream publishing.
Yeah, absolutely. What did you think of the title?
Yeah, I thought about this and I get that it's like a neat way of expressing two of the elements of the plot, but I'm also just like, I don't necessarily like it.
I have found, and obviously as a cis woman it's, you know, not my place necessarily to criticize it for this, but I have found talking about it quite difficult, just because I feel like I have to trip over myself to reassure the person I'm speaking to that, like, oh no, it's not a bad upsetting narrative. Well, it is an upsetting narrative in some ways, but, you know, it's not promoting detransition as a thing that, like, as a stick to beat trans people with. Like, it isn't a, it's not a book about that specifically. And I don't know, I feel like it's almost a slight disservice. I feel like a little odd, I guess, like, to discuss a book, this incredible book about trans people and written by a trans woman, and to kind of always have to caveat with, oh, but it's written by a trans woman and it's definitely not transphobic. You know, like, I don't know if that's just me hand-wringing, though.
Well, I don't know, because I feel like there is a kind of precedent of books with provocative titles a la Revolting Prostitutes, for example.
True.
And yeah, I don't know. I guess it's kind of nice that the author and the publisher felt able to give it such a provocative title. I guess because detransition is such a kind of, even within discussions of being trans, it's such a kind of underexplored area for lots of reasons, partly because of, like, the stigma of almost, like, not wanting to admit that it happens, because that undermines the broader project of, like, trans rights. I just think it's so interestingly explored in this.
Yeah, because the subject matter is explored just beyond Ames's experience, which I wasn't expecting and was really intrigued by. And yes. I feel like the novel, even in its moments of extreme sadness, there is so much kind of humor woven through it as well that makes it just a really compelling, really interesting book.
It's just so kind to all of the characters, even though the characters, because they are human and written by someone who is clearly very smart and humane, are not always behaving in like ways that you would want to experience. She just treats all of the characters very kindly and allows them to have multifaceted personalities and to go through stuff, and we get to go through the stuff with them.
And you know that the novel circles some really shit, really sad things, but it never falls into being overly sentimental.
Yeah, or feeling like you're kind of these people are going through shit for no reason, like just so that we can witness like pain.
Definitely it's doing something more than that, more than just presenting complicated or upsetting situations for the sake of resolving them.
Well, yeah, it's almost like explaining how these people came to be the way they are. And that's a kind of complicated route, especially if you are trans.
And you know, I also feel like it's a really hard thing to do in fiction. Like, it's actually really hard to give characters really believable backstories and psychological motivations for decisions which are bad decisions or wild decisions or messy decisions. Like, it's very difficult, I think, to do that and retain such a kind of tenderness towards the characters as well.
So true.
And I think you're right. That's why I really deeply loved Reese. I loved her. I loved her messiness. I loved her flaws. I could have spent the whole book with her.
And I could also see how, because other characters, other kind of slightly more peripheral characters, often perceive her as kind of overly dramatic or vaguely sociopathic. And there's quite a kind of interesting bit near the end where she is just doing something that she has the urge to do, and then it gets kind of misinterpreted and pathologized in a way that makes you understand how maybe in the past her behavior has also been misunderstood. So yeah, I thought that was very kind of interesting and complex. I just found that there was so much in it that I found very thought-provoking in terms of like, yeah, psychology, and especially kind of interpersonal relationships and how people, you know, Tori Peters is clearly very jaded by like Twitter discourse, understandably, and there's a lot of stuff about like weaponizing people's identities in a way that isn't like healthy for interpersonal relationships. And yeah, I just found that she has a really interesting perspective on things.
Yeah, I will read every word that she writes in the future, and I believe she does have some other work that has not been published in the UK, but there is, I think, something else floating around.
Yes, there's maybe a couple of things listed in the front of the book, so we can seek those out.
Yeah, I think the way that she came up through the way that this book came to be is really interesting as well.
Tell me about it, please.
So at her launch event, she was talking about how she got into writing and what her story was. And like, she was just describing like trans focused writing events that almost kind of like The Moth. Have you ever have you heard of that? So like, everyone who turned up was invited to read. They could read whatever they wanted for a set amount of time. And these events just sounded fucking brilliant. And it was a space specifically for trans writers. And like, at one point they had something like 200 people showed up to read, and they just stayed there all night. Every single person read. And like, she just ended up being part of this like incredible network. And I think that's just so interesting and exciting that like, maybe this is the first voice from that network that has like managed to break through to the mainstream. And I'm really excited at the thought of what other writing has been nurtured in like these spaces.
I agree. Because this was such an interesting and what felt like a very well-rounded and nuanced view of this question and of a kind of cast of various trans characters. But obviously it's still only one person's brain. So yeah. I would love to read more of this ilk by different people.
I do have one splinter of beef.
Tell me about the splinter of beef.
I'm just gonna share it, because, like, whatever. The only problem that I had with this book was that the scenario was just felt so unlikely to me.
Yeah.
And I did have to like really suspend my disbelief over how willing the two women, Katrina and Rhys, how willing they were to
enter into like, this situation.
Yeah. Because I just couldn't quite figure out. There wasn't, unless I missed it, I couldn't really see like a solid reason as to why Katrina would be open to sharing the parenting.
Her precious baby. Yeah.
Yeah. With a total stranger.
Yeah. And so someone had said this to me as well, that like a queer person who had picked up this book and read like the first chapter or, you know, a vague amount of the book and just said, I'm not sure if I'm going to keep reading this because I'm finding the premise so silly. And I was, you know, I felt like that was a shame, but also it kind of is a little bit silly because there is no reason why structurally they should raise this baby together. It's not like Amos and Rhys are still together. It's there's no real connection between Rhys and the biological parents. It's just that Rhys desperately wants a child. There is a child that exists potentially, and Amos is trying to kind of please everyone. But yeah, I don't really get why.
Yeah, he why feels this would like be. He owes it to her.
Yeah, and but yeah, why would Katrina, who's the one that's actually pregnant, be like, yeah. So yeah, I think you do have to suspend disbelief that it is quite a strange and extreme situation. Because it's,
I guess,
also
that's the thing, like, that's the premise. So it's just like, if hearing the premise sounds ridiculous, then maybe you won't be able to suspend your disbelief enough to like follow the path of what ifs to its conclusion.
Yeah.
But if you can get past that, which, I mean, I could, because I was just like, okay, in the world of this book, these three people feel that this is a potential solution to something, you know?
Yeah, but I do agree. But I found enough. I can't imagine reading it and not finding enough other stuff to enjoy to get me through the book and enjoy the book.
I guess the only reason why, because obviously we suspend our disbelief all the time when we're reading books or watching movies or whatever. I guess the only reason why sometimes something like this, why it sticks a little bit, is because I feel like it would be very easy to create a reason. So I feel like this, it must have been discussed. It's a choice that Tori has made to not give a more solid, like, psychological answer to that question. I'd be curious to know why.
I guess if there was like a reason, that reason would then have to be the subject of the book, because it would be like a bad reason, you know, like it then wouldn't be about kind of trying to figure out what family looks like.
I guess by reason, I mean something like Katrina doesn't have any particular like concerns about motherhood herself.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
For her, it isn't a question of like, how am I going to raise this baby and keep my career? Like, it isn't about her concerns, and that's fine, because it's not a book about a cis, you know, it's not about cisness, and it's not about cis motherhood. So I don't mind that didn't take a front seat. I guess I just, something like that, a thread of that, just to, like, give a slightly neater explanation as to why she is so open to this. And why Rhys is so open to it. Like, she really wants a baby, yes, but it's just such a strange situation, I guess. Like, strange to everyone involved. But, you know, good fiction doesn't come from things that are not unusual.
Yeah, as I said, I do think there's, like, so much to like about this book that I was just willing to be like, this is fine. This is, yeah, I accept
exactly.
This.
Exactly, exactly, exactly. Aside from the aforementioned, is there any other books that it reminded you of particularly?
So, yeah, in terms of fiction, as I said, Fleischman is in Trouble. And then more kind of in terms of queer parenthood elements, it reminded me of Against Memoir by Michelle T, which we know I love.
Yes. Oh, God, I love that book.
But no, apart from that, I can't think of anything that came to mind. How about you, my dude?
No, that's kind of what I was thinking as well. Like, there are elements like the kind of women in New York vibe, like, kind of reminds me of, I feel like everything that it reminds me of is on the tip of my tongue. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's so unique. Even though it's also presenting some aspects, you know, we've read 1,000 times. But yeah, against memoir, that's a really good shout.
Yeah, because that's as kind of close as I feel like I've read in terms of trying to imagine a more kind of radical parenthood, a more radical vision of parenthood. But yeah, I would love to read more like this in terms of like genuinely radical approaches to constructing family. And I think that was probably why I enjoyed it so much, was that, you know, although it was implausible, it just felt so bold and daring that to even present this as like a potential way of being or having a family.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just felt really, I guess because it's not a narrative that I can't tell you the last time I read a book from the point of view of a trans woman, which is, you know, probably my own problem. But yeah, just to read such a kind of a book that isn't like anything else I can think of, it was just such a pleasure, especially given how sharp and compassionate Tori Peter's writing is.
Yeah, I guess when I think about the other works that I've read over the last, like, however many years from trans writers, I guess they don't often tend to have the same kind of commercial quality in the line level of the text. Do you know what I mean? Like, So I'm thinking about stuff like Fierce Femmes and Notorious Liars by Kai Cheng Tom. I'm thinking about like Imogen Binney. I'm thinking about Large Animals. Like when I think about books I've read by trans people, they tend to be transgressive. And like this is also, it's not that Detransition Baby isn't transgressive, but it's still like very commercial and accessible as well.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I mean, I haven't read any of those books. So yeah, as I said, it's my problem. But yeah, I really hope that this, you know, even if, like, I feel like we're very wary of being like, oh, you know, we don't want it to be like a publishing trend, you know, giving people in oppressed groups publishing contracts and, you know, stuff like that, which I think we are right to be wary of to some extent. But I just feel like I would love it if this opened the door to publishers taking more of a chance on, you know, trans authors. That would be so good, because I want to read more commercial fiction written by trans people. That would bang.
Yeah, absolutely. And I feel like, you know, like as we've always said, the writers are there, the work is being written. But I think it's also about finding talent and nurturing it, which is something that, you know, lots of tiny presses have been doing for a long time.
Yeah.
And that's not to like disparage the work that they've done. But it is exciting to see a book like this really reaching the mainstream. And I hope that it really pops off. I hope that this is the start of like a long and lustrous career for Tori Peters. And yeah, I hope that we see more fiction like it.
Although I can't imagine what could be like it. But yeah,
I guess that's the thing, isn't it? Like, it doesn't, you know, it doesn't always have to be circling, like, such kind of specific, I don't know how to phrase this. Like, obviously, Detransition Baby is like intrinsically a trans novel because it is intrinsically about the lives of trans people. And that is what Tori Peters, that is who she is writing for. Like she has said very explicitly that she's not writing for a cis audience. Like she's not interested in that. And I think that that's probably one of the strengths of the book, is that it doesn't feel like it either.
Yeah, it's not like an explainer. It's not like a trans lives 101. Yeah, because obviously it's dealing with some quite like big, complex questions and big, complex situations. So yeah, it is definitely not like a kind of explainer of like the basics of trans politics at all.
Yeah, exactly. So even though like we won't see another book like this, you know, I feel like when you're asking questions along the lines of like, what if this happens? What if X does Y? You know, like, I'm sure her beautiful brain will throw out some interesting shit.
Yeah, I hope she is very much enabled now to do loads of more interesting stuff, because I would read the hell out of it. So, good friends listening at home, have you read this book? If yes, tell us how you felt about it. Did you have to suspend disbelief, or were you like, yeah, this is a thing that could happen? How did you feel about the characters? How did you feel about the ending, which we have not discussed because we're being spoiler-free bitches? We want to hear about your opinions. And if you haven't read it, because we have remained spoiler-free, do you now feel inclined to read it? Have we made this sound like a book that you are hyped to read? Tell us.
I will post, as per, a little picture on Instagram, and that's probably the best place to leave comments.
Just
because I like to see them all together, and I will reply to the ones that you so kindly left us last week. It's been a busy time. That's all I can say. I apologize.
She's had a lot going on.
Yeah, I'm still book writing, and it's very exciting, but it does mean I have a brain much like a small pebble that has been tossed on the Thames foreshore until it's as smooth as a pebble. No, that doesn't work.
But this is where your brain is at, so I accept the metaphor, because yeah, the metaphor in itself explains your brain.
Smooth as an egg. Egg. There we go.
So yes, please get in touch. We love hearing from you, as you know, unless you're weird and rude, in which case we don't love hearing from you.
And yeah, let us know anything else that you'd like to see us cover. Although, to be honest, whenever we do books on episodes rather on specific books, I feel like we're only ever going to pick bangers. I don't ever want to be like, I'm going to read the shit book that everyone's kicking off about. Like, that's not the vibe we're looking for. So bangers only.
Yeah, please. We will, you know, we've got a pretty good idea of like things that we're looking forward to. So yeah, I hope you will enjoy this revived format of the book club, which is slightly different from how we used to do it because we have gone spoiler free. But I think that works. And I don't feel like I was... I don't feel like I was avoiding saying anything too much in this episode.
Yeah, and we did a sidebar
that you can't hear because I've edited it out. Future me has edited it out. But yeah, I love this book. Alice, I'm glad you also love this book. I think people who listen to the pod would love this book, so do not hesitate, rush out and buy your copy of Detransition Baby by Tori Peters. Show the publisher how much you love it, and hopefully we will be reaping the rewards with more wonderful Tori Peters books in the future.
Right, that's enough of that then.
That is enough of that. You can find us on the internet at whatpagepod.
On Twitter and on Instagram. And at whatpagepod@gmail.com if you want to send us an email. Please feel free. The inbox is always open.
Always. And we will see you on the flip side.
See you on the flip side. Bye.
Bye.